for the past 4 months, I've been traveling all over the place doing stuff. In 1999, in that summer, I went with Debbie and Beth and the River Falls Church to Peru for a missions trip. And we worked with this organization called the Book of Hope. At the age of 12, I had been called into missions and ministry and stuff. And so I just, you know, I wanted to get some experience doing that. So I, like, kind of kept in contact with them. This past, it was last spring, I called them up to talk about, like, a missions trip or something that I could do with them. And they told me about this internship that they had. So I got all the paperwork and I filled it out. And I sent it back in. It was a couple months before it began. They told me I couldn't come because I was too young. So I was, like, really bummed about that. Then I started talking to them again, and I asked about, well, they called me, actually, and they told me about the spring internship, and it was the same price and everything as the fall one. So I, like, checked it out, and I got approved, and God totally made way with the money. Barely. I was so afraid. It was pretty awesome. I raised all my money, and it's all paid for, exactly to the dollar. It's all paid for. I just thought it was awesome that God totally provided for it. When I first went down there on the 6th of January, I was picked up at the airport, and they brought me to my house where I, like, totally relaxed and stuff. And that whole weekend, I just got to know the other kids that were coming in. On Monday, we started our training in their office, in the headquarters of the Book of Hope place. They would have guest speakers come in and share their burden for missions with us. We would have devotions as a big group and have classes on missions and, like, the do's and don'ts when you're overseas and stuff like that. We would also have classes on, like, discipleship and more or less getting yourself spiritually ready for what was in store. And that was really critical because without that, I don't think a lot of us would have made it. And I'm really glad that they did that. And it was actually, this was the first time, because the internship program had just been taken over by two new guys who had been doing this for most of their lives. It's now Global Ministries Institute. The last semester, before the GMI moved in, they, like, sent a team out after, like, 3 days of training to India. And that was, like, crazy. And they were like, we're never going to do that again. So we were down there for a whole month, and we got to meet awesome people. We had Billy Graham's grandson in there, and he spoke to us about missions, and it was just awesome. We had different people come in from the office and tell how their little part of Book of Hope helps to make the big picture a reality. And it was really cool just to see how the little pieces fit in to make a whole, like, picture. After that first month of just intense training and stuff, we went out to the Dominican Republic. And when we first got there, it was like, you know, you're, like, on this whole high, and it's awesome. And you're like, oh, I'm in a different country, and it's going to be awesome. And it was totally hot, and it was craziness. And we were there for about 2 weeks. In those 2 weeks, what we do is we would go into the schools in the daytimes, and we would do dramas, share with the students the book, how the topics in it can relate to them. And what the book is it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, put in chronological order so that the life of Jesus is just, you know, from birth to death and then to resurrection, but without saying things twice and without leaving stuff out, you know, so it's just the whole story, like a book you'd read. In it, there's little topics. They talk about family and friendships and relationships and true love and keys to success. And on the very last page, on the back cover, it talks about, as they call it, the most important decision you can make. And that what it is it's just totally like the salvation message spelled out so anybody could understand it. And we had 4 different books. There was one for students, first and second and third graders. And then that one is pretty much just a picture book. It's like just a bunch of stories and stuff, you know, of Bible stories. But it's just on their level so they can understand it and, you know, so it's something that they'd want to read. And then the next book is like for 5th and 6th graders, for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. It's more like a comic book-based type thing, but yet it has all the issues in there and all the topics that the other books talk about. And then there's the teenage book, which we handed out mostly. That one is the one that really talks about like love and keys to success and the family. That's where the whole the topics come in and stuff. And that's where we'd take the book, and as we're in front of the students, we'd explain each thing to them and tell them how it can relate to them and tell them how it can relate to us. Then the other book is one that we use in the universities. It was more like a study book kind of a thing. I wish I had them here. I could like pass them around to you guys and let you see them. It was really, it was just awesome time. What we'd do is we'd go into the classes, and then we'd do a couple dramas, and then people would give applications to them. Like we have the one, the chair, that most of you guys know. In it, it's somebody brings out this chair, and they pretend to come out with a paint can, and they like, you know, they paint it with a brush, and then they put this sign on top of it that says in their language, don't touch. And then another person comes out after the painter leaves, and they like mess around with it, you know, they throw the sign off, and then they touch the chair, and they sit down in it, and eventually they're stuck to it. And then throughout the whole rest of the drama, people come out, and they try to pull them off and get them off the chair, but in turn they'll like grab a hold, and then a part of them will get stuck to it also. And then finally the person that painted it in the beginning will come back out, and they'll be like reading a book, you know, a copy of the Book of Hope. And they'll come out and they'll be like, what's with you guys? You know, why? What's wrong? Why can't you get off the chair? And they're like, we're stuck. We don't know why. Then the person would like pray for them. And then they would get off the chair. And we would tell the students how this could be anything in their lives. This could be cheating on a test. You know, at first you just do it just like once because everybody else is doing it, and then you don't get caught that first time. But then after you start doing it, Matthew Brogdon, you get caught eventually. And then, I love you, man. And then you're eventually stuck to it, and you get caught, and you can't get off. And no matter, other people may come into your life and help you get off, but in turn, they may get stuck too, you know? And so it's not through our power, but it's through God that we can get rid of those things in our lives. And then we have another one. It's called The Walk of Life. And in it, they have four or five people lined up, and then a person that says to the students, you know, I'm going to go for a walk today down the lane of life or something like that. And then they come to the first person, and they stop them, and they tell them they're ugly. And then the next person tells them they're stupid, or they're not important, you know, and they are worth nothing. Nobody loves them, and stuff like that. And then finally, the person's, like, bawling on the floor. The last person comes up to them, and they ask him, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And they're like, they'll take them through the people again. They'll be like, see, they think I'm ugly. They think I'm stupid. And then the last person will say, no, you're important to God. He loves you so much. He thinks you're beautiful. He made you in his own image and stuff like that. It was our way of sharing with the students how no matter what other people say, you know, God thinks the best of you, and he just wants what's best for you. That was what our assemblies consisted of. We'd go into the school, do the dramas, talk about them, and then explain in the book how those topics are in there and how they would help them. And then in the evenings, we would go into church services and do dramas there also. But those dramas were more based at the church people group, you know. Like we have one where Jesus and Satan have this huge battle over these people that Satan threw in this like box thing, you know. In the end, Jesus like kicks Satan's butt, and then and then he gets the people out of the box, and then they're like, I'm free, you know. It's like, and more or less what it's saying is, even though you may do things that'll put you in something small, you know, that'll make you feel like you're stuck in something that you may think you can't get out of, but with Jesus, you know, you can get out of those things. Somebody would probably preach at the church services also. And so that's what we would do basically throughout the day, every day pretty much. And while we were in the Dominican Republic for those 2 weeks, we handed out more than 20,000 copies of the Book of Hope. And it was just our team of like 10 people. And so it was pretty awesome. It was awesome to see how open they were to us, how much we were able to more or less tell them about God in the schools. It really bothered a lot of us because, you know, we can go across seas and go into the public schools and talk about God, but we can't do it in our own country. One of the girls even, she was talking to the Rob Hoskins, the guy who thought of Book of Hope, his son. She was sharing with him about her burden for the U.S. and stuff. She wrote this really cool letter to the president. She's telling him about just that, how we can go across seas and talk to the students about God, but we can't do it in our own country. Rob asked her to come back this summer and work with Book of Hope on the stateside. And so she's going to be coming back and more or less going into the schools in the states here and doing what we would do, you know, just that. So it's pretty cool to see how God opened that up. Next, we went to Haiti, and that was That was pretty weird. It was like voodoo was rampant, I guess, and it was pretty interesting. And we were down there the weekend we were leaving Haiti. It was their carnival, and what it was more or less like this big, like a big, like a satanic party kind of a thing, you know. Everything would go, and it's like a huge Mardi Gras gone wrong. And that's about it. And well, it is wrong, I know, but it's worse than that. And like at nighttime, the girls would get all freaked out because you could hear these, what they were is the voodoo drums, and they would like be pounding on them at the nighttime, you know, and you could like hear it going on. So it was just totally, you could like feel an oppression too when you were there. And we would do the same thing as we were there, but we worked with the Haitian Bible Society. It was, that was interesting at times too. They didn't always know what to do. So we only did about two schools a day there. When in the DR, we'd do like seven a day. Haiti, it was so crowded and overpopulated, and the roads were so terrible that it would take you like hours to get you someplace that should only take a couple minutes, you know, like 20 minutes or something. And because of that, we were so limited because we were only there for 2 weeks. And while we were in Haiti, we passed out about 8,500 copies of the book. Also, we worked with this missionary family, the Aldriches, while we were there. And they were just an awesome family. They loved us, so it was pretty cool. But also, they had friends there they were French-Canadians, so they were like from Montreal or something. And they had this whole children's church set up. Every Sunday, 600 kids would come from all over the city to this, like, this little, it was their house, but they like redid their backyard, so it was like this whole stage and setup. And it was awesome because they would have like games and stuff for the kids. And they were like anywhere from like, I think it was like 5 to 18 years old, the kids would come. And then they would feed them after the service and everything. So they were there for a couple of hours. And it was awesome because, you know, some of them are just street kids who don't have a place to stay. And so they're like free food. And they just come and then they get Jesus too. So that's really cool. And we did the whole Sunday service. And that was really fun. And while we were there, there was this little girl. Her name was Alexandra. She was, I think, 8 years old. And she didn't have a house. And what she would do was she would travel all over the neighborhoods, like cleaning, more or less being a slave to whatever they wanted her to do, just so she would have a place to sleep at night and have food to eat. The girls, while we were there, they totally just, you know, they would hold her and stuff. And it was just... I don't even know how to explain it. It was, she wouldn't let go of them. She just wanted to hang out because they don't have any love down there. The kids, if there's like too many of them, the parents will just throw them outside and say, fend for yourselves, you know, because there's no money. There's nothing down there. It's so poor that the kids, they would just take whatever they could get, you know. And this little girl, she would just hang on to our team members because they were just, you know, they just gave her a hug and she wouldn't let go. So they like carried her around the whole day. And it was just incredible to see how starving for affection they were. I don't even know. And then when we left Haiti, we came back to the States for a week. And we worked with this Hope Celebration, that's what it was called. And it was like Book of Hope's big fundraiser. And they would have like all their missionaries and stuff from all over the world come in for this like, just this time of fundraising, and then they would share testimonies. And it was really cool. So we got to work there for that week, and then Mom and Dad actually came down. I think they more or less fell in love with the ministry down there, so it was pretty cool. I don't need a tissue. After that week, we then went on to Poland. While we were there, we worked with the Catholic Church, and our interpreter, one of our interpreters, and we called her the national coordinator. What she would do is she would set up all the schools and everything, all the church services that we would do. And she was a Catholic herself, so she like totally could get us into places that we would never have been able to get into. You know, as a what are we? Yeah. I don't even know. The first week we were in Warsaw, for 3 days, the students in the whole city they had this choice where they could take off of school 3 days and go to this church for like half a day or stay in school the whole day, you know, for that week. So almost all the kids came out of the schools and they would go to these church services. And my team, we split into two and we went to two different churches. And we like got to work with these students, like hundreds of them, for those 3 days. And what we would do there is we'd like take over the church service more or less. Like it was hilarious because you'd have these huge Catholic, not coliseums, but what are they called? Cathedrals. And then we'd be up there doing dramas and stuff and totally preaching at them. You know, it was awesome. So we totally got to share with the students there and tell them how real Jesus can be to them. And the other team, not my team that I worked with, but the other team actually worked with a spirit-filled Catholic church down there. And it was hilarious because they're praying for, in the beginning, they were just praying with them. And then the leader, one of our leaders, Debbie, she's like, are they speaking in tongues? And then the interpreter is like, yeah, I think they are. And so that just like totally blew them away. And that was their group had a college group that met at the church weekly, and they helped the group, and they would do dramas themselves, but you know, they spoke Polish, so it was a lot easier for them. But I think because we were Americans, the kids listened to us just totally, and we always had their attention, and so it was cool, because I mean, you just get up there and then you'd start talking to them and every eye would be fixed on you, and you would just know that you were speaking into somebody's life. It was awesome. And we also, Josh McDowell actually was doing a talk, I guess, if you will, about sexual purity at one of the churches that we had been at. And that was that week while we were there in Warsaw. So what we did was we went into the dorms and passed out flyers and the book, and we got to talk with some of the students in the university there about Jesus and stuff. And actually, one of the kids that we talked to was from Cuba, and he was there in Warsaw studying, and he spoke English very well, so we got to, you know, it was easier to talk to him. And we gave him the book, and he was just like sitting outside his room, just sitting on the ground doing nothing, just waiting, you know. When we showed up, we like were talking with him, and we gave him the book, and he thought we were, what are they called, Jehovah's Witnesses. And he's like, oh, I've heard of you. I know who you are. I'll read this, you know. And he was just looking for something. We knew he was just searching for something. When we gave him the book, we're like, we are not Jehovah's Witnesses. And we're like, don't go there. But not really. But we got to share with him about how Jesus is real in our lives and how he can be changed too if he just wants to, you know. And so he was, the next day we saw him at the Josh McDowell talk thing, and at the end he like gave somewhat of an altar call, and the guy was just down there and he was bawling, you know. And it was just so cool to see how God just, you know, touched his life. We were in three major cities when we were in Poland. We were in Warsaw and Tarnów and Krynica. And while we were in Tarnów, we were there for like probably 3 weeks. We were there the longest, actually. We were staying in a dormitory that was like, half of it was teacher housing and half of it was student housing. Three of the girls had to stay up on the top floor with all the students, so they weren't very happy with that. But it was kind of interesting because through that, we got to share with these two girls, Rishka and Magda, and we got to totally talk to them about God the whole time we were there. I mean, like every night we would go up and we'd just like talk with them because they were English students and they just wanted to practice their English. So it was pretty interesting to see how God worked through that. I gave them a copy of the book, and I was talking to him. I was explaining each topic to them and how it can relate to them, you know. And they wanted to translate for us. If they had a day off, they said they would have come and translated for us because they just wanted the experience, you know. But they never had that opportunity, and I just really pray for them that through the books and through them just reading it, you know, wanting to talk with us, and through the relationship that we built with them, just the friendship, that they would be able to, you know, accept Jesus for themselves. And I hope they do that. We went into three prisons while we were there, juvenile prisons. And the first one we went to was an all boys prison, and it was actually pretty interesting because they were like all 18-year-olds, you know, older guys. I was surprised at how intently they were listening to us, because, you know, we just come in and we have like these stupid dramas, but they were just totally eating them up and they just wanted to hear what we had to say. We came back to the boys' prison once, so we were there twice, but we were also at a girls' prison. And while we were there, we were doing this, our little assembly thing, and one of the girls in the audience started just to cry, you know. And the girls afterwards, our leaders, were talking to her, and I don't remember why she was in there. I think she was shoplifting. She got caught stealing. She was in there for a while, anyway. She said that how she wanted Jesus to be evident in her life, as evident as it was in ours. And so through that, the leaders actually led her to Christ there in the prison. And we were just there for like an hour, and it was just cool to see how God opened that door. The next country from there, we went on to Slovakia. And while we were there, we worked with, he was a rapper from the States here, and an American band also. And it was really cool, because we'd go into the schools, and the interns would do just a couple of dramas, but then we'd turn the assembly over to the bands and stuff, and they would just totally, you know, rock the place. And the kids were just, because you guys love music, right? And if somebody came into your school and you just, like, they did dramas or something, you'd think, oh, that's stupid. But, like, the guys came in, and they just totally, like, rocked the place. And they were so open to them. Like, every eye, whenever they were up there, whenever they had the mic in their hand, they were just totally focused on them. So it was cool to see how, more or less, inspired, like, they made us, you know, because we just had a boldness then, you know, to just go in and just say whatever we wanted. And we could, because we had the mic, you know. And we worked with two guys that worked with Book of Hope, Milan and Pavel. And they were like our translators and stuff, and they were really cool guys. And Milan, it was like a youth group kind of a thing. He would, oh, what is it called? Every Wednesday night he would have like a big church service there. And he, at first it was just a pretty small group. And then he had like 50 kids by the time we were there and stuff. And his group had grown to 50 kids. And then when we were there, we went into the schools in the daytime. And then we had two Hope Fests. And what they were they were just open-air concerts where the bands and the rapper would get up there. And they would just totally play their music, you know, and preach. And the second night after we did the second concert, Matt, the rapper, he was up there. And he was just totally, you know, preaching at them and telling them how much that God loves them and how much that they mean to him. They mean to him. He gave an altar call, and there was like 400 kids there, and over 300 of them stood and accepted Christ. And it was just incredible to see how open and receptive they were to what we had to offer them. And the next day, we went on to the capital, Bratislava, but Milan stayed there because that day his youth group met. And he said that 50 new kids that next day, after Matt had given the altar call, 50 new kids showed up. So his group had grown from like 45 to like 95, just overnight, literally overnight. So it was just awesome to see how just open they were to us. And those kids that go there, he's totally, you know, he's like always in discipleship mode. He always like is speaking into your lives. And that's like why he's there, is he just wants the kids to know how real Christ can be to you. I think it's just awesome because I know they're going to be discipled, and I just know that their lives are just going to be changed. It was awesome. While I was overseas and while I was doing this ministry, God just like kept reconfirming in me that he wants me to, you know, do missions for my life. And I want to go to Turkey. It was awesome to see how overseas they're wide open to you if you guys are Americans. And I can't wait for Jamaica, because that's just totally going to be great. And I'm excited for that. I can't wait until I'm out there like full time, just totally rocking the world for God. It's gonna be awesome. Also, I don't know how to say this. It was so cool to work with them, and it changed me so much that I want to go back actually this fall and work with them again, and that's what I'm really praying about right now, and I feel that God wants me to so far. I don't know. Just be in prayer for me, and I thank you guys for supporting me on this, and I pray that God will bless you even. However, you know, if you prayed, if you gave me money, whatever, I just thank you so much for that, because I was able to go and hopefully speak into somebody's life, you know. But also, you guys had a part of that, because you helped me get there. So, Thank you guys very much.